Good afternoon. It's 5:06 and 59 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Shamari Mosley.
All Rowan County students were presented with two learning options to finish out this school year.
Rowan County students have to choose virtual or in-person learning this week.
A bill to waive overpayment on unemployment claims is headed to the governor's desk.
Meanwhile, Kentuckians who tried to impeach the governor need to pay nearly $18,000 in legal fees.
FEMA started assessing flood damage across the state today.
Meanwhile, a telethon is planned with App Harvest and Appalachia Rises tonight.
In sports, the Volleyball Eagles are looking to keep their winning streak alive.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Mostly clear skies tonight with a low around 27. We'll have a look at your region's extended forecast after this news.
Students in the Rowan County school system will have the option to return to in-person instruction 5 days a week later this month. The Board of Education voted to allow the change after Governor Andy Beshear made recommendations for schools in late February. McBrayer Elementary School Principal Abby White posted a town hall announcement to the school's YouTube page last week. She says students will not be able to make changes once their learning option is chosen.
We only have a couple of more months of learning for this school year. I want to encourage all of you to do your best to have your child here at school if you choose the in-person option. Please have your child here at school every single day of the week. We need and want them here. And we have certainly missed every sweet little face in our building.
White says a survey sent to parents last week needs to be returned by this Friday. Students are slated to return to 5-day in-person classes on March 22nd.
A bill allowing the state to waive the overpayment of unemployment insurance claims is headed to the governor's desk. Some Kentucky claimants who left their job early in the pandemic were mistakenly granted unemployment benefits after the administration signaled they were eligible, only to be later asked to return the money. The legislation, now on its way to the governor, permits the state labor cabinet to waive those overpayments among requests. It's just one of many problems that arose when the state's outdated unemployment system was slammed with a record number of claims during the pandemic. Lawmakers have argued on the floor over where to place the blame, with Republicans pointing to the governor and Democrats, including Senator Morgan McGarvey, arguing the system was primed to fail.
When you want these systems to operate, you have to keep them operational. That means paying and training the people who work there. That means not cutting them to pay for something else in the shell game we normally do with this budget.
The House approved the waiver authority 94-0.
Kentuckians who formally sought the impeachment of Democratic Governor Andy Beshear are on the hook for nearly $18,000 in legal fees. Under committee rules, the impeachment petitioners are responsible for things like attorney fees and the time spent by lawmakers on the issue. Governor Beshear's office estimates attorneys spent 159 hours on the proceedings, leading to a sizable bill just shy of $18,000. One of the petitioners, Jacob Clark of Litchfield, told WHAS 11 the impeachment committee's hours of closed-door debate did little for the public.
They go in secret executive session constantly, you know, I mean, no transparency.
Attorney General Daniel Cameron's office has signaled it won't be charging a separate group of petitioners who requested his removal. Petitioners against Beshear say they plan to object to the legal bill.
A bill which advanced out of a Senate committee on Thursday would make it illegal to insult or taunt a law enforcement officer to the point where it could provoke a violent response. Senate Bill 211 is sponsored by retired police officer Senator Danny Carroll in response to the violence and vandalism both in Louisville last summer and on Capitol Hill earlier this year. Carroll tells Wave 3 News the bill's goal is to protect first responders, the public, and both public and private property.
This is not about protest. This is not about lawful protest in any way, shape, form, or fashion. This country was built on lawful protest, and it's something that we must maintain our citizens' right to do so. What this deals with are those who cross the line and commit criminal acts.
The bill will head to the full Senate for a vote. If it passes, it will then go to the House.
A bill is moving through the Kentucky legislature to give students an extra year due to the pandemic. Senate Bill 128 offers any student enrolled in a Kentucky public or private school, grades K through 12, to retake courses or grades in the next school year. Senator Max Wise tells LEX 18 athletics are what families are focused on.
And once again, it's like the sports papers. We tend to sometimes turn to the sports first. And many people with this bill want to turn to sports. But this is an academic focus bill on an opportunity if families wish to choose to supplement next year as a repeat year.
The bill gives high school students a fifth year of athletic eligibility if they choose it.
Kentucky residents affected by flooding are being asked to document and report any damage to homes or businesses as the state makes the case for federal aid. The Beshear administration works to secure federal relief for communities and individuals. The state's emergency management director, Michael Dossett, says it's crucial that citizens document the damage.
Photos are so critical. Photos of things that are destroyed, photos of appliances, photos of your furnishings, photos of HVAC. Everything that you can see that is damaged by water needs to be photographed.
Dossett says FEMA and state officials work together on an assessment in the initial stages, but the process of submitting and possibly receiving a presidential declaration could take up to 2 months. If the state is approved for individual assistance, rewards would top out at $35,500 per individual or household.
App Harvest is partnering with 8 other organizations to fundraise for communities impacted by flooding. WMKY's Heather Fannin has more.
The Appalachia Rises Initiative is bringing together organizations to form a large-scale fundraising effort for Kentucky's Appalachian counties hit hard by historic flooding. A telethon will air tonight at 7 and will feature musical performances and inspirational addresses by notable Kentuckians. Donations will be targeted to individuals needing emergency relief, farmers, and small businesses. To donate, visit the Appalachia Rises website. For WMKY News, I'm Heather Fannin.
The University of Kentucky has closed its Confucius Institute, citing growing regulatory and budget concerns amid ongoing tensions between the U.S. and China. WUKY's Josh James has more.
UK is transferring the China-related programming on offer through its Confucius Institute to other parts of the university. As it reports, a, quote, growing and strong federal regulatory concern regarding the institutes. University President Eli Capiluto wrote that those concerns recently reached what he calls an inflection point as federal laws and policies dealing with funding for research grants through the Defense Department have made continuing the institute, quote, unsustainable. If the UKCI were allowed to continue, it could jeopardize the roughly $50 million a number of UK colleges currently receive through the department. Capiluto praised the Confucius Institute as an important link between Kentucky and China, making Chinese culture accessible at UK and helping facilitate Chinese language learning in K-12 schools. In Lexington, I'm Josh James reporting.
March 6th marked 1 year since Kentucky diagnosed its first COVID-19 case. 27-year-old Julia Donahue of Harrison County was the state's first case. She tells WKYT she faced uncertainty getting the virus.
At that point, I didn't even know what COVID was. So when he said that, I was just like, I don't know what that is. What does that mean? They told me I was young. My body was strong. So they were hopeful that as long as they could help me maintain vitals and all that, that I would recover.
A year later, Donahue has a new outlook on life and says she's blessed to be able to continue doing what she loves, which is decorating cakes.
Community groups are banding together to push back against increasingly frequent rate hikes proposed by Kentucky utility companies. Each year, the Kentucky Public Service Commission receives hundreds of applications to change rates and services. Kentucky Power wants to overhaul its solar net metering rates, an arrangement that allows customers to offset their electricity costs by investing in rooftop solar. Josh Bills, a commercial energy specialist with the Mountain Association, says it's critical to bring more community voices to these rate cases, which largely go unnoticed by the public.
it makes for a much more complicated system on top of the complicated system that we have, but it could also bring just a world of benefits. And so we need to be open to trend and direction that we're going towards renewables and renewables, you know, not centrally located.
He adds, for now, the commission has deferred weighing in on changes to solar net metering, but a final decision is expected in May.
The city of Lexington is honoring a beloved late council member and community advocate with a plaque outside Alfalfa, a restaurant he once co-owned.
It softens our sorrow a bit to have other people love and honor and remember Jake with us. So thank you all for coming.
That's Anita Courtney, wife of former council member Jake Gibbs, who unexpectedly passed away a year ago. Gibbs came to Lexington in 1978 and became what Mayor Linda Gorton called a real warrior for his district and the city.
He was a self-described city kid who fiercely protected downtown and its historic neighborhoods.
The one-time 3rd District Council member was known both for his approachable manner and his strong advocacy for a safer, greener Lexington. The plaque created in his honor reflects that commitment, depicting a tree with deep roots surrounding by a tribute describing Gibbs as a dedicated servant to his community.
Taking a look at your region's extended weather forecast for tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high near 63. Tuesday night, partly cloudy with a low around 40. Wednesday, partly sunny with a high near 66. Wednesday night, mostly cloudy with a low around 50. Thursday, a 20% chance of showers after 3 p.m., mostly cloudy with a high near 67. Thursday night, a 40% chance of showers, mainly after 10 p.m., mostly cloudy with a low around 53. And for your Friday, a 50% chance of showers, mostly cloudy with a high near 65.
On our feature segment today, Kentucky lawmakers are proposing legislation to change the state's open records laws, a move which many oppose. WMKY's Keneally Roberts has more.
If passed, House Bill 312 would require a standardized form for open records requests and would limit those requests to only individuals who live in Kentucky. Dr. Thomas Kiffmeyer is an associate professor of history at Morehead State University. He says the existing open records law already covers the main issues HB 312 aims to address, which would make legal challenges difficult to tackle.
This is a statute. You know, it's not constitutional. It's not infringing directly, from what I can tell, on any kind of civil right. The legislature gives and the legislature taketh away, you know, and so this is the situation we're facing, I think. It should face challenges, but those challenges are going to be hard and difficult, you know, for the challenger.
He says the resident-only clause raises a lot of issues, ones that became apparent at the start of the pandemic.
When COVID hit, I was actually in Virginia. And I was trying to figure out what was going on, of course, this is before this act may or may not, you know, come into effect, but, you know, trying to keep tabs on what Bashir and the Kentucky Department of Health was doing, you know, was critical to I was wondering if I could get home.
He also says the request forms proposed under the bill would require such a level of specificity, it would make it very difficult for researchers to access records.
I want to see this record on this date, you know, that talks about this thing. You know, that's a lot of information you need to know ahead of time. You know, when I'm doing research, a lot of times I'll just start with real general searches and just to see what's going on. I'm not going to ask about a specific day or a specific event so much. This is the beginning of my process, but as I get more into it, I might be able to know those types of things.
All in all, Kiffmeyer says the most concerning issue with HB 312 is that he believes the main purpose of the changes is to make it more difficult for the public to access information.
If there's a fundamental argument here, it's not constitutional so much as it is ideological. You know, I think, you know, democracies are supposed to be open and accessible, and this makes it less and less open and accessible.
Kiffmeyer isn't alone in his opposition. WPSD reports the Kentucky Open Government Coalition sent a 7-page letter to the Kentucky State Senate detailing why they oppose the bill. And that position has recently gained support from news organizations like the Associated Press and others. For WMKY News, I'm Keneally Roberts.
Support for MSPR comes from the Center for Gifted Studies at Western Kentucky University, providing classes for high-ability students, their parents, and their educators for more than 35 years. The Center for Gifted Studies at Western Kentucky University is now accepting applications for summer camps designed for academically gifted middle and high school students. More information online at wku.edu/gifted.
It's 59 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Shamari Mosley and Keneally Roberts. And we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton Studio here in Breckenridge Hall. Rachel Turner has a look at sports coming up, but first I want to say thank you. We're so glad that you can spend time with us on this beautiful Monday evening.
The Volleyball Eagles are trying to get 10 in a row tonight. For WMKY Sports, I'm Rachel Turner. The Morehead State volleyball team is hoping to keep their perfect season alive as they face off with Tennessee Tech tonight. The Eagles went 3-2 in Sunday's match. Associate head coach Kristen Becker says it was a tough contest.
They are a team that continues to get better, and honestly, we were able to use almost every single person on our team in a different role, and to have that confidence as a coaching staff that you can put any person in when you need them is great, and that's how we won a 5-set match.
Game time tonight is set for 6 p.m. Watch live coverage at msueagles.com. The Morehead State baseball team will host Ohio tomorrow at Allen Field. The Eagles stand at 4-6 on the season, coming off 2 wins out of 3 games with Marshall over the weekend. Head coach Mick Aoki says the Eagles split a doubleheader with Ohio at the end of February.
Their number one pitcher is really, really good, and I would doubt that we face him. I think the rest of it is certainly, I think that if we play well, I like our chances. And, you know, I feel good about our ability to come up with a good outcome against them.
Game time tomorrow in Morehead is set for 5:30 p.m. The Morehead State basketball team is headed to the NCAA tournament after beating Belmont in the Ohio Valley Conference Championship game on Saturday, 86-71. The Eagles last won OVC a decade ago and has now won 19 of its last 20 contests heading into the NCAA tournament. The 23 wins tied the 2015-16 CBI Championship Series team for third most wins in program history. Head coach Preston Spraldon says it was a great time to be an Eagle.
Not like Belmont played some terrible game. They played well. It's just I think our guys, it was pretty evident from the moment we arrived to the arena. We wanted it more. We wanted it more. It meant more to our guys, and we just weren't going to go out of there without cutting those nets down.
The NCAA selection show is set for 6 p.m. on Sunday, March 14th. The university is making tentative plans for the event. Check msueagles.com for updates. The Round County Senior High School girls basketball team is looking to wrap up regular season play this week. The Vikings currently sit at 8-6 on the season after picking up 3 wins and 1 loss last week. Tonight, Round hits the road to take on Russell. Head coach Matt Stokes says with the postseason on the horizon, his girls have reached the point where they are always thinking about the next team.
As soon as that game Friday night was over with in the locker room, before I even let them go home, we started talking about the other team that we were going to play Saturday. And, you know, we came out Saturday afternoon, and which it was a short turnaround. We played Friday night at 7:30 and then Saturday afternoon at 2. So it was an even shorter turnaround for a back-to-back night, and the girls did really well.
Tip-off in Russell tonight is set for 7:30. The last game of the regular season for Round is set for Wednesday against Menifee County. The regular season is over for the Round County Senior High School boys basketball team. WMKY's Tanner Boyd reports as the team prepares for district play.
The Vikings finished there last week by picking up 3 more wins, beating Robertson County, Boyd County, and Johnson Central. That has Rowan sitting with an 11-3 record heading into the postseason. In an unusual season, the team will also be saying goodbye to eight seniors: Jacob Blevins, Austin Fannin, Bradley Gardner, Nathan Goodpaster, Jordan Justice, Dylan Maxey, Mason Moore, and Colton Perkins. That will leave the team needing some heavy adjustments heading into the next season. For now, Rowan holds the number two slot in the 16th region behind Ashland Blazer, with Boyd County, West Carter, and Russell rounding out the top five. For WMKY Sports, I'm Tanner Boyd.
And that's going to do it for sports today. For WMKY, I'm Rachel Turner.
Bud Luke has a look at the stock report right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Ruth Hunt Candy Company, caring for the community by encouraging everyone to follow safety guidelines and stay healthy. Ruth Hunt is Kentucky proud with traditional candies and confections, Woodford Reserve bourbon balls, Laura Hemp's chocolates, and Blue Mondays. Ruth Hunt Candy celebrates 100 years in 2021, sweetening the distance between you and your loved ones. Ruth Hunt Candies in Mount Sterling, Lexington, and anytime online at RuthHuntCandy.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Robert W. Baird. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. The Dow Jones Industrial Average climbed as investors piled into economic comeback plays after the Senate approved a new COVID stimulus package, while tech shares continued to sell off. And the Dow Industrials did finish with a gain of 306.14 at 31,802.44. The S&P 500, pressured by tech stocks, was down 20.59 at 3821.35. And the NASDAQ Composite, very much pressured by the weakness in big tech, finishing with a loss of 310.99 at 12,609.16. Among tech stocks, Apple was down 3.8% and Tesla was down 5.5%. Disney was up more than 5% after California eased COVID rules, which does enable Disneyland to reopen on a limited basis in April. And the reopening play today very much at work in the airline stocks, as American Airlines was up 4% and UAL was up 6%. The 10-year Treasury was up 4 basis points to finish at 1.6%. And, of course, higher interest rates very much a story in the markets these days. Oil was down $1.43 per barrel at $64.66, while gold continued to slump, finishing down $20.50 an ounce at $1,677.70. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was CSX up 90 cents at $92.53, App Harvest up 54 cents at $17.41, AEP up $1.59 at $80.49, Marathon Petroleum down 16 cents at $57.16, and Community Trust Bank was up $1.96, finishing at $46.19. Reporting from the Ashland offices of Robert W. Baird, this is Bud Luke.
And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. Today we had help from Tanner Boyd, Greg Jenkins, Paul Hitchcock, Carrie Stambo, Heather Fannin, Josh Grogan, Jonathan Burton, Rachel Turner, and Keneally Roberts. WUKY's Josh James, the Robert Baird Company's Bud Luke, and our feature segment today came from WMKY's own Keneally Roberts. Our theme music is composed and performed by Allison Brown. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, Kentucky. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Shamari Mosley and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5:30.